Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
All right, it is another edition of the Crossover Podcast. Chris and Dave along with you. Chris from the Home Team, Dave from the Morning Show, and you mix that up, and that's where you get the Crossover Podcast. Georgia has returned from its off week. They will head to Kentucky Saturday to take on the Cats and maybe a Falcons mention, too. Although, as we're recording this, the Falcons play on Thursday night against the Panthers. So,
tonight, yes.
Yeah. I mean, if we wanted to mention the shenanigans of Sunday's loss to the Lions, where it really has... I was just looking at a photo today, which might be the most Falcons photo ever. It's Todd Gurley sprawled across the goal line and a Lion throwing his arms in the air signaling touchdown. And
which is funny because there was another one that was it Collins, I think, that was signaling the touchdown. There was another one that was saying he didn't get in. It's like, did they know that they were trying to let him score? I was confused by that.
I think most of them did, because there was one guy that actually like started to wrap him up and then let him go.
It looked like he was trying to tackle him.
Yeah, I think they wanted to pretend maybe that they weren't just completely surrendering a touchdown there. But in the end, it's like, honestly, the Falcons need to be losing games now. So that was a good touchdown Todd scored for the future of the franchise.
I don't think that hurt the Falcons at all. There's nothing wrong at all with that.
If they can get a high draft pick for whoever the new GM ends up being and whoever they decide is going to be the new head coach.
I was surprised, too, that Matthew Stafford's had, like, was it 30 or something fourth quarter comebacks or drives or touch? Did you see that stat? I didn't know the Lions had even won that many games since he'd been there.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it.
And that was the first game he's played in Atlanta. Like, they hadn't played the... Because I remember the Falcons playing up there a couple of years ago, and they've played – wasn't it the Lions Atlanta was playing in London that year that the Falcons somehow got to the two-minute warning, the Lions had no timeouts, and Atlanta still somehow lost the game? Wasn't that also against Detroit?
Yes. That was a bad day. Yeah, the Falcons have had weird endings against the Lions.
Yeah. Because, it was like 2 or 3 years ago in Detroit that they thought the Lions had scored – they reviewed it, decided that it wasn't a touchdown, so then it was a 10-second runoff and the game ended. And then Sunday's game kind of had the same thing with a late review, but since the call on the field stood, they didn't have that 10-second runoff, unfortunately.
Was Matt Ryan's first win, that very first game, was that against the Lions? Is that... Or is that going too far back?
That would require a Google.
I want to say
that takes us all the way back to what, 07?
The 2007 season. And I want to say that was his first game. But I may be wrong on that one. I'm checking it as we speak. But they ended up winning that game. Let's see. They ended up, I thought they won that. Or was it 2008? His first season was, I know they won that game, right?
I guess it...
Or was it 2008 was his first
season? I guess 2008 would have been his rookie year.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So the 2008 Falcons. Okay. So I it seems like they've just had this kind of weird, even though they haven't played the Lions that much, some kind of weird connection with them. I don't know. But, yeah, these weird finishes or whatever it is. But, yeah, that game on Sunday could not have ended... just a crazier way.
And yeah,
then, you know, you've got the Falcons, you've got the Georgia connection with Stafford,
and then Swift
scored Sunday. Even Isaac Nauta caught a pass, I believe, in that game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, it was the Detroit Lions that the Falcons beat that year in 2008. That was Ryan's very first game. It was a 34-21 victory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a first career win.
First career win, and now here they are.
Yeah, and now just another soul-crushing loss, although in the end probably not that bad. But we like football here on the Crossover Podcast, so we'll talk Georgia now heading to Kentucky. Had a week off after losing that game to Alabama. It's kind of funny that during the bye week, there seemed to be a lot of, you know, there was quarterback talk and what the future is going to look like there at that position. And now the week of the game has come around, and that's just been kind of dropped because, I think Kirby's been pretty firm with his stance of, you know, Stetson Bennett is this team's starting quarterback, and you know, I guess JT Daniels has been in some way cleared to play, but it doesn't sound like he's necessarily got full movement and is really ready to play. So, you know, Bennett's Georgia's quarterback from here on out.
Yeah, and what happened to Dwan Mathis? He was the starting quarterback, got pulled pretty fast in that Arkansas game, and all of a sudden we hadn't heard his name or anything since.
And I think I guess we talked about this already, but you know, when you look back at how, you know, good Arkansas's defense has looked at times this year, that maybe you go back and you rethink, like, yeah, Mathis didn't look good in that first half, but, you know, there was a bad snap that didn't help him and things like that. But, you know, maybe now a couple weeks have passed and you review Arkansas and realize, well, I don't know, maybe playing poorly against their defense wasn't that awful.
Exactly. I mean, that doesn't look like – and Georgia still won 37-10, still won by four touchdowns against an Arkansas team that I think is a little bit better than we thought.
Yeah. Now, the counter to that, I guess, is that Bennett did come in that game and play much better against that same defense.
Yeah.
But, it is interesting how Mathis was the team's starting quarterback, and now it's just he's not even a factor. It's either is Bennett going to continue to start, or are we going to see JT Daniels, but no one's interested in Mathis anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. It's very strange. And, you know, the other talk, too, is I guess it was Coach Saban, was it earlier this week, where he was saying, hey, you know, he's a defensive guy, and he's been known for having great defenses, but he said the defenses can't keep up with offense now. You got to have the offense
to win. I mean, we've realized that now twice.
Yeah.
Here, the SEC title game last year with LSU and a couple weeks ago against Bama. And Saban pretty much said it. Like, Georgia's got probably the best defense they'll face. And in the end, Alabama scored 41 points.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to be able to score. And offense now, for a variety of reasons, is the name of the game. And I think, you know, in most instances, that defense Georgia has is going to – like, I look at this week's game against Kentucky and think, like, I don't think Kentucky's going to score much. You know, so the question is, you know, how much can Georgia do offensively? But, you know, with the defense, I'm not worried about Georgia losing or anything like that, because I think in Kentucky we shut them out here last year, and I would expect that they would have a hard time getting much more than that this year too.
Joey Gatewood's going to be the quarterback, it looks like, for Kentucky on Saturday, too.
Yeah.
Terry Wilson is apparently injured.
A minor injury.
Is it a hand injury? Is that what they're calling it?
And it started with a minor injury, and now he hadn't practiced all week.
Yeah. And did he remove his Twitter account from the Twitters?
Supposedly he deleted his Twitter.com, yeah.
Maybe he just got tired of the BS that he was getting on Twitter.
Yeah, that could be.
I don't know.
Yeah. But Gatewood, once upon a time, when he was at Auburn, he was the next Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And, now he's Kentucky's quarterback, and you wonder about him because we've seen Bo Nix, and Bo Nix is kind of average, and if Gatewood wasn't better than Bo Nix, then I don't know what Kentucky's going to get out of him this weekend. Plus, it's not ideal that your first start has to be against Georgia's defense.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Exactly. They have had, well, no, they haven't. Georgia's had a week to get ready for Kentucky, but Kentucky hasn't had a week to get ready for Georgia.
No, and they had
they had 1 week.
And they had the predictable hangover against Missouri last week after smoking Tennessee in Knoxville the week before.
They looked really bad last week.
Yeah.
Kentucky did.
And even in that win against Tennessee, they had two pick sixes?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, offensively, it's not like they needed a lot in that game either. But, yeah, last week they were pretty pitiful on offense.
I noticed perusing through the Georgia football notes that Jake Camarda is second in the nation in punting, 50.7 average. The leader is Max Duffy from Kentucky, who is the reigning Ray Guy Award winner. He's 27 years old from Australia. I didn't realize that. So the top two punters in the country will be going at it on Saturday. Hopefully we won't see much of Camarda, and we'll see a lot of Duffy, unless there's the knots.
If you had asked me even just like what school had the Ray Guy Award winner last year, I don't know that. I guess eventually I'd have just started naming schools and gotten around to Kentucky, but that would not have been the first name on my list. Yeah. I had no idea they had the Ray Guy Award winner
either.
From last year.
That's why it helps to read those notes sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. There's always some information in there, even if there's no longer depth charts, right?
Georgia puts what most schools are doing now is they put the depth chart from the previous game.
All right. It's at least
here's
something.
What it looked like from the previous game. And that's what Georgia does.
Yeah.
And you get a roster. Georgia also tells us that the Bulldogs are the only team in the nation with at least three games against teams ranked in the AP top 25. And that also has a winning record in those games. Which makes sense. We knew coming into the season, Alabama was going to be one of the games. We figured Auburn. Weren't sure about Tennessee.
So we're counting that?
Yeah, they were ranked number 14 when Georgia beat them.
No, all right, I guess it does count.
And Alabama, obviously, and Auburn. Auburn was ranked number 7. I mean, in fact, Auburn was number 7, so Georgia's already played two top 10 teams, and 1-1 against those.
Yeah. Well, at the time they were played, the games were played, those teams were were ranked, so I guess they can count them. What else we got this weekend in the league? We got, Missouri and Florida will be interesting since that's the Dogs' next opponent going to Jacksonville to play the Gators, although you'll have to find that on the SEC Network Alternate.
The Alternate, yes.
Channel, which I brought this up the other day. Like, I don't understand. If I'm Florida, like, why is that game starting at 7:30 if it's only on the Alternate channel? Because if my next opponent is playing at noon, I don't want to play at 7:30 that night, when you can just, why couldn't they just play it, you know, like whenever they want?
Yeah, since it's on the Alternate channel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
But
I used to think I had a pretty good pulse on how TV worked and the scheduling, and I've just given up.
I have
no idea.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I know if the roles are reversed there and Florida was playing at noon Saturday and Georgia's game was at 7:30, but it was on the SEC Network Alternate channel, like I would be raising a fuss about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I know. So the Dogs get to play early. Now, they are on the road. Florida is at home, so I guess there is that to be said. But still, does seem like a break for Georgia. They could potentially be getting back to Athens by the time Florida's kicking off.
Yeah. I mean, they might be all tucked in and ready for bed.
Yeah, exactly.
No going out. And make sure everyone stays healthy because the Big Ten's already got issues with Wisconsin. You know who I have issues with? Nebraska. Like, you're in a conference, so you have to accept that the stipulations that are put out there by the conference. And when the league first decided to shut down, Nebraska didn't want it. Ohio State didn't want to either. But Nebraska's the one out there that's just raising all kinds of...
I don't remember Ohio State raising a lot of cane.
No, they didn't. But that's just it. You're in a conference. You vote. You lost the vote. Move on. So now... And I do. I feel bad for Nebraska because it's not – they didn't do any. Wisconsin was the one that couldn't follow protocols, and now they can't play this weekend, so Nebraska doesn't have a game either. So apparently they wanted to schedule a game against, like, Chattanooga. And the Big Ten said no because we've got protocols in place for how the season's going to be played. But Nebraska just is out there. They keep wanting to do their own thing. And, you know, enough. You're either in the league and you abide by – the guidelines that the rest of the league agrees to, or I don't know, go somewhere else.
I get that they want to play.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Well, how about, you know, Georgia, you know, Florida. I'm not going to say South Carolina, maybe Kentucky, but you know, they were not happy with the SEC with the vote of playing only conference games this year.
Yeah.
Those schools wanted the plus one.
Yeah.
So that Florida could play Florida State and Georgia could play Tech. Like I said, I don't know if South Carolina had a problem with missing out, you know, not having to play Clemson, but those schools didn't say anything. It was the conference that voted that way.
Right, and like, none of those schools now are out making a fuck. Like, we're going to schedule that game anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
It's they're not going to happen this year. It's unfortunate. This is a unique year, but Nebraska this whole time, just they, you know, they keep bringing up this nonsense with the Big Ten, and like, it's just you're in a league, and these guidelines were put out there by, you know, medical staffs at each league, and it just, you know, yeah, maybe the Big Ten did screw up and they didn't leave themselves any wiggle room because there's no off date. So if there's no way to postpone games,
right?
It's either.
But they've already put in place. It's like, all right, here's what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
If you play a certain number of games, you have a certain percentage that's going to count.
Yeah.
So, no, there's not going to be any games made up, but here's the way we're going to handle this.
Right. And I get Nebraska wants to play, and in their minds, they followed protocols, and they didn't get anyone sick, whereas Wisconsin, you know, would be down to their fourth-string quarterback, basically.
Their championship game is the 19th. The SEC's is the 19th. I guess, is the ACC's the week before?
The ACC announced, in fact, today that it's going to be the 19th.
Okay.
So they had had either or.
And you did see where the SEC championship game is moving to 8 o'clock or the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
So we'll see how they juggle all that. But what if a conference championship game gets postponed or there's issues?
Well, the
which
SEC
is very possible.
That might not be a bad idea. Like, how many years of the SEC, the two teams? Like, last year, Georgia would have made the playoff had it not had to play LSU. Yeah.
Seems like I can remember a certain champion from 3 years ago that won the whole thing and didn't have to play in its conference championship game.
Yeah.
So that worked out pretty well for them.
Yeah. But I don't know, like, if Bama runs the table and Georgia's sitting there 9-1 and that Bama game's their only loss. If I'm Georgia, I'm like, you know what? We've got COVID issues, and we cannot play the game this weekend, so I guess our next game will just be in the playoff.
So if that were the case, if Bama were 10-0 and Georgia were 9-1, that would essentially for Georgia be the quarterfinal game. They wouldn't have a...
But it
wouldn't be for Bama.
No.
Yeah. So you could potentially see, how that might go for those two teams. But, you know, Georgia's still got to play Florida. I mean, does Georgia have better players than Florida? Yes. Does that always mean you're going to win the game? No. So they still got to get past Florida before worrying about the SEC championship.
Well, the one thing watching the Gators so far this year is their defense is horrible.
Yes.
So the question is Georgia's offense good enough to take advantage of that defense? Because every game Florida's played this year from... Although Ole Miss had its way with Bama's defense too, but you know Ole Miss put up a bunch of yards and a big number against them. Texas A&M obviously did, and I guess South Carolina kind of did too. Which really, it's the third down conversions that are a problem. Because the Aggies were 13 out of 15, and one of the third downs they didn't convert, they did get the fourth down. Third and Grantham. Gators fans are finally figuring out what we meant by that.
Remember last year, or was it? A couple of years ago when they were like kind of taunting Georgia that third and Grantham was a good thing.
Yeah.
Hey, like, we've got third and Grantham.
Yeah. No, that doesn't mean what you think it means.
Yeah. Third and Grantham is awesome for us.
Yeah. Bad for you.
Yeah. Well, now they're getting the reality of that.
So let's see. What else? We got Ole Miss and Vandy. I guess I'm going to assume.
Does Vandy still play? When was the last time they played?
They played October 10th.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they've had the last 2 weeks off.
Okay, they're in the same boat as Florida. They haven't. Neither of those teams have played since October 10th.
Yeah, and then like the word even earlier this week with the Gators is they still have like a half dozen guys that they were still having the COVID issues there.
And all this kind of popped up after Dan Mullen said we need to fill the stadium, and the next thing you know, they can't even field a team.
Yeah, well, I already saw too Mullen because Georgia and Florida next week was supposed to be an off week. You know, the NCAA mandated Election Day. No team activities. And so now suddenly, I know Mullen has already been pretty vocal about it. Kirby, I think, he's smarter about, what he opens his mouth about and what he doesn't. But
right,
Mullen
right.
is already like, what are we doing? Why can't we do anything on Tuesday? Because they're both looking at, like, all of a sudden, this is the Georgia-Florida week, and neither team is going to be able to practice on Tuesday.
This is 2020. This is the world we live in.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
we're gonna have to just keep dealing with it.
Yeah, but Mullen was like, "Well, they're going to class, right? But they can't come here and practice." So that's what's out there now. Election Day for the NCAA is no team activities, and it wasn't a big deal when that was originally set to be, I guess, an off date. Or no, I guess it never was it? Because this week was supposed to be the off week.
This was supposed to be the off week.
Yeah, so that was always.
Next week was supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
so
wait,
I guess.
I take that. No, they were supposed to play this week. Georgia-Florida was supposed to be this week.
I thought this week was going to be the off week.
The bye week was supposed to be last week, the 24th. Right? It was always supposed to be a Halloween game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah.
The game was supposed to be on Halloween.
Yeah. So, it would have factored it into it one way or another.
I know. I can't keep anything straight.
We do have Mike Leach and Nick Saban squaring off.
And after Mike Leach annihilated LSU in week one, that offense has been...
Yeah, I know.
Stumbling, stumbling, bumbling.
I guess we haven't seen them in a couple of weeks, but, yeah, they had 2 points at Kentucky and scored... I think one non-offensive touchdown against Texas A&M. So they've done very, very little, almost nothing since that LSU game. But I do like Leach and Saban squaring off in a game, because I guess we've never seen that, have we?
Have they never gone against each other? I guess they haven't. I mean, not as a head coach, or not as head coaches. I'm sure when he was at Kentucky, potentially. They might have run. Would they have run into them when Saban was at LSU? I don't know. I'd just have to go back and look.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, Leach was there at T by T for a while, and I guess at Washington State they never crossed paths. I don't know. The schedules week in and week out now are starting to look a lot better. There are more games since the Big Ten has joined in. I guess the Pac-12 coming soon, and we'll have Maction on Tuesday and Wednesday nights coming up in a couple of weeks as well. But the Big Ten was...
I think next week, Wednesday.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess this week was potentially still the World Series was going on, so I think they usually waited until after that. But I do like that the MAC realizes, like, this is our thing, playing on weeknights. So, like, their entire schedule is just weeknight games, right? They're not playing any games on Saturdays.
Oh, is that right?
I think so.
And the thing, too, is, I mean, I am not trying to take a knock here, but, like, you'd watch those midweek MAC games sometimes, and the stadiums would be half full, a quarter full. So it's not going to really be any different.
Yeah, that was like even. I mean, just when it came to the idea of like, what's it going to be like to watch sports without spectators? And I have not had a problem with it, but that was always one thing I thought is like, I don't know. I've watched college football games on Tuesday nights where really there's like nobody there.
Yeah,
so it's not a big deal.
And that's good. That's good. Hey, get on TV and then have the weekends off.
Yeah.
I know it probably messes your calendar up, but they're used to it. They've been doing it for years.
And somehow the broadcast have done a pretty decent job of, I mean, putting some kind of ambient noise in there that makes it sound like the place is packed. And, I mean, it's weird, too, but having some of those cardboard cutouts in the seats does kind of help. At least make things look filled in.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's about to really pick up. And I'll be curious to see, like, if we've already seen one cancellation now in the Big Ten. What if Ohio State had to miss a couple of games? And they go, 6-0 instead of 8-0?
Or
5-0 instead of 8? You know, does that give them enough of a resume to be in the playoff?
Well, cool. The what's the rule? The Big Ten is the rule is to even make their conference title game. You've got to play six.
Oh, you got to play six. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't keep up with all the rules and everything in every league. I can't keep up with it.
No, that's the Big Ten is the one league though that they don't really have any room. There's no opportunity to just postpone a game. It's just it's canceled, and that's what they saw this week with Wisconsin and Nebraska. But luckily we still have Indiana at Rutgers.
Luckily.
Lined up.
Hey, that's a letdown. Both of those teams coming off huge wins.
Huge wins.
Somebody's got to win again.
You have no idea. Like, yeah, one of those teams is going to be 2-0.
That's right.
And then you do have Ohio State, Penn State this week.
By the way, I haven't talked to you. I watched the end of that Indiana Penn State game was really good. Watching that last play of the quarterback for Indiana diving for the pylon, I think I watched that 30 times, and you could have convinced me either way that it was good or no good.
Yeah, I could see in, like, you know, watching it live, he stretches out, the pylon falls over, it looks. But then when you're watching it in replay, like, it looks like the ball hit the ground first.
Yeah.
But maybe there should be a rule, because, like, even if you knew nothing about football or the rules, and you asked somebody, like, do you think this player scored here? And like, well, no, because he didn't get in the end zone.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like, at least some part of a player's body needs to cross the goal line and not just the ball.
Just the ball. And also, again, the camera angle was from like the 4 or 5 yard line. Could we get the camera angle on the goal line?
Yeah.
The two most important lines on the field are the goal lines.
And was that game, that wasn't like just on the Big Ten Network, was it? Wasn't it on like, it was on a big enough...
I think it was on one of the Fox, maybe Fox? It was FS1 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they can afford a pylon cam or something.
Yeah, you would think, yeah. 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 So that was one of those too, where and the thing is, I guess for the officials on the field, they're like, I can make the call, so I can call, but your call, there's a good chance whatever you call, if there's not enough evidence to overturn it, then it's going to be the call that you make.
But that was another one of those deals too, where it's like 2 days in a row because it happened to the Falcons, but Indiana let Penn State score, and so that because their only chance was to get the ball back, and they were down 8, and they marched downfield, scored a touchdown, hit the 2, tied the game, and then you're in overtime. And I mean, the difference though for Penn State is, as opposed to the Falcons, like Penn State, they were in the lead already. Like they had no business scoring, at least with the Falcons the other day. I mean, Atlanta was, they were trailing, so I could see where a field goal, even if it is from like the 1 yard line, stuff can happen. So you get the points and just hope your defense can stop them. But Penn State was in the lead and they got greedy and blew it.
Yeah. Interesting how that game had that, the goal line thing. It had the scoring, not scoring, and then you had the Falcons scoring, not score. You know, all that stuff in those two games wrapped up. It made for some interesting football.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll have some more this weekend. And Dogs in Kentucky, which you can hear on the Ref, beginning at 8 a.m. with the broadcast, and also noon, yeah. And of course the Ref app within a 75-mile...
The old geofence.
The geofence of Athens.
Did you think that, and I'm switching subjects here completely, because I wanted to talk a little bit of baseball before we got done. Kevin Cash, the manager for the Rays, caught a lot of flack for taking his man out after 2 times through the Dodgers' order. Even though he was dealing.
Yeah.
Are you one of those jumping on the train of he should have left him in because he was dealing, or he went with what he was told to go with?
Yeah, I give him the benefit of the doubt because that wasn't like a managerial decision that all of a sudden like came out of the blue and he like choked in the World Series and made a stupid decision. It certainly did not work out the other night, but that's like the philosophy of that organization when it comes to its starting pitchers and how many times through they want to, they want their starter to see, you know, to go through a lineup. And in game 2 of that series, Snell had no hit him through 4 2/3, had 9 strikeouts in that game 2 like he did the other night, and all of a sudden gave up a walk, a homer, another walk, a single. So it just... You know, it got away from him pretty fast there, and maybe Kevin Cash had that same idea. It's like he was dealing in game 2, and all of a sudden he wasn't. And so there the Dodgers were, he was dealing, but they had a line drive to center field, and he had his pen ready to try and finish off that game. Oh, the other point I'd make, too, is like they did only score 1 run. Like everyone's thinking it was like that pitch that cost him the game. And I mean, sure, it's possible he could have thrown a complete game shutout or something, and they could have won 1-0. But, you know, also, like, if people seem to be forgetting that Tampa scored 1 run in that game. Like, that's more often than not going to be enough, especially against a lineup like the Dodgers. So,
yeah.
And it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Like, and they only gave up 3 runs, which isn't bad against a lineup like the Dodgers.
Does, the Lakers and the Dodgers both winning titles 17 days apart in this year of the COVID, do they count to you?
Yeah.
It felt real to me. I even watched a little bit of the NBA Finals. The baseball felt real. I can tell you this. When I was watching the Braves, I felt the same angst and nervousness that I felt when they were playing playoff games in regular years.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they started the season later, but these are the dates that the postseason would have been. So, I mean, I think it counts. And now – Yeah, so now you got the Lightning won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. So that would have been, if Tampa had won, they would have had two.
Yeah. And not in the NFL. You got Brady with the Bucks, yeah. So Tampa's lurking there too.
I don't guess is LA. Do we have a threat for an LA Super Bowl?
Maybe the Rams.
Maybe, yeah.
But and
I still forget the Chargers are LA also.
And the Super Bowl's in Tampa.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh.
I could pull that. All right, appreciate you checking us out again today. However you subscribe to podcast, rate us on iTunes or listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com or download that 960 The Ref app. Make sure you get that, and you can get all of our on-demand programming. You can listen to The Ref live wherever you are, whenever you want, and stream Georgia sports programming, live events within a 75-mile radius of Athens. And the next one up is Saturday afternoon with the Dogs at Kentucky. For Dave, I'm Chris. This has been the Crossover Podcast here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.